Hey folks, we have a duty to fight for freedom and fight for our nation. There are so many who have come before and given everything for freedom in our country. And we can't let them down. We shouldn't let them down. There are so many of them still all over our nation that carry with them the battle scars of wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, my husband being one of them, a good friend of mine, Scotty Smiley, Tiffany Smiley, who is going to be on this show. She's one of them, but they're fighters and they continue to fight the good fight. That's what we do, right? That's how we move forward. We have to learn those lessons from the people that did it before us. We have the power to take back our country. Imagine what it must have been like in World War II, the bombing of Pearl Harbor. What did Americans think back then? Young Americans, like, are we going to lose our nation? Is Japan going to dominate the world? The European front, the ongoing war? My family, going back generations to the revolution on my dad's side. I'm actually a daughter of the revolution. On my father's side and on my mother's side, I'm the firstborn of an immigrant family that fled communism here in America. Imagine that. On both sides, I understand wholeheartedly because my family raised me that way, what it is to fight for freedom and why it's so worth fighting for. And I'm going to talk to you about that and so much more because I think the fight is here at home too, right? We're trying to win this battle at home. We're trying to save the principles that make our nation so great. We're trying to save the spirit of our nation. And believe me, our spirit is wounded, but it is not gone. Every single one of us is a part of this beautiful fabric of America, this diversity, this amazing lifelong spirit, I call it, of fighting for what is right. The one thing worth fighting for, and that's freedom. And I'll be right back to talk to you about that, to talk to Tiffany Smiley, who is a great friend of mine and who continued to fight the fight, not only for her husband after he was wounded in Afghanistan, but she almost kicked and she pretty much did. She was right on the edge of kicking Patty Murray out of her seat in Washington State. And Tiffany has not given up. She is still fighting that fight. This is one of my favorite things to do is this podcast. I love just being able to sit here and talk to you. I love going through all of your wonderful text messages, emails. I love talking to my friends about ideas of what we can talk about next. And I feel like this is a very intimate setting for me, right? Where we can talk about things and extend it. Like I'm not just on TV for like 3 minutes trying to deliver a quick news hit or a message. But this is where we can really think things through. And I interviewed Tiffany Smiley. That interview is coming up and it's just an incredible interview. Tiffany is just an amazing human being who has done so much to fight back and to stand up for freedom in our country. And it got me thinking about, you know, my family, my great, great grandfathers, going all the way back to, I found a man named David McSwain and William McSwain and their family on my dad's side in the Isle of Skye in Scotland. And both sides of my father's family, both my grandmother and my grandfather, both sides, although I'm still learning all my grandfather's side, they were here during the revolution on both sides. And I think that's pretty remarkable because I'm here today by the grace of God. We all are, really, right? These are the men and women. And yes, I'm including the women because the women had to fight too, right? I mean, they might have not been on the front lines, but they were struggling, right? They were struggling and fighting from their homes, trying to protect their children, you know, trying to do what was right to survive in a country that was new to them, just like immigrants today are. I mean, even when I go back and my mom and my dad are both buried in Alabama, and my grandfathers are buried there too, in a small cemetery in Alabama. And I see their headstones, you know, I see my grandfather, William, and his headstone, it says, you know, veteran of World War I. I never knew my grandfather on either side, actually. And I'll explain that in a minute, but they were a lot older. They passed away before I was born. But my dad used to tell me stories all the time about William. He was a farmer. And actually, when he was really young, he was a cotton picker. He would pick cotton. He and his family were so poor. They were so poor then, my dad's family, that's what they did. They picked cotton in the South, and eventually during the Depression, my grandfather had saved just enough money. This is during the Depression picking cotton, that he was able to buy a small farm in Alabama. But he fought in World War I, and he was part of the Rainbow Brigade. And I remember I would see this helmet when I'd go to my grandmother's house. I would see this helmet, and inside it was like a map was painted, this old World War II helmet. And there was a map of every place he was, I guess he served or he fought in Europe. And you could see it. And I wish I knew where that helmet went. It was just remarkable. And then my great-grandfathers, I mean, think about the revolution. Think about what that was like and fighting for freedom. And my father was World War II and Korea. He fought in the Korean War. And there was a lot of sacrifices made by my family. And those sacrifices also went to the wives and the children, because these were, at that point in time, and even for me, these were the men that gave up so much for freedom. And I want you to think about this. It was an all-volunteer force, right? They weren't forced. They weren't drafted. My dad was 16 and a half years old, and he lied, and he went to fight for his country. You know, I think about Tiffany Smiley when Scotty, her husband, was injured. They were young. They were in their 20s. My husband Marty was older when he lost his eyesight. Scotty lost his eyesight in Iraq. Scotty and Marty are lucky to be alive. And they know it. And they both are men of deep faith. And they both are men that love their families, and we love them. Tiffany fought for her husband. She fought for her husband. She believed in him and believed in what he did and still does. But she's a fighter too. And so am I. I was talking to the producers before we got on, you know, about what it was like a little bit, you know, with Marty. And, you know, it is the probably one of the toughest things in the world. When somebody tells you, like happened to Marty, like happened to Scotty, you will never see again. Your eyesight is permanently gone. And the family is trying to be there. But how do you even understand that? How do you even comprehend that kind of sacrifice? You'll never see your kids again. You'll never actually physically see them grow up. Granted, there was always the joke that I would never age. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I guess that's a positive because I'll always look the same age. Marty always jokes around about that when we married, I'll always look that same age. You know, I'll always look like the last time he saw me. But really, and on a serious note, it is a huge, huge sacrifice. You don't play baseball anymore. You can't golf anymore. Can't drive your car. Can't, you know, there's a lot of things that you're giving up. What else? What do you get? What do you get from that? You get your family. You get to hear laughter. You get to feel that love. You get to go on vacations. And sure, I got to describe everything. I'm becoming a much better writer because of that. But you learn that life isn't all about what you thought it was. That those sacrifices, they meant something. And they do mean something. I sometimes wonder you know, in my mind, like when I would go to Walter Reed, and I talked about this too, I remember getting to Walter Reed with Marty and, you know, after he came back on that emergency flight, medical flight from Germany, he was first in Afghanistan, then in Germany, then here, you know, in the United States at Walter Reed, they brought him in through Andrews Air Force Base. And this was a time, you know, in 2011 when the hospitals were just filled with our troops, Marines, Navy men, female soldiers, male soldiers. I mean, it was just filled because the war was so hectic and it was ongoing. And I would walk through the halls of the old Walter Reed, and it was just before it had moved. And I would see so many young Americans burned, without legs, some of them missing arms. I remember there was one guy not too far down the hall from us. He was missing his arms. He was missing a leg. His face was burnt up. And I wonder where they are now. And I want you to think about this sacrifice, because each one of us, whether we served in the military or whether we're here at home, we can all serve our nation, right? We can all be a part of making this nation great. Like my beautiful grandmother, I remember her, Ida Bell, you know, on the farm with my grandfather, William. And I remember Ida Bell like it was yesterday. She passed away when I was like 12 years old, but she made me these like beautiful little bonnets, and she would tell me stories about, you know, our history and American history, some of it good and some of it downright rotten. I'm going to tell you a really quick story and then I'm going to segue, because I want to get back to Tiffany and why we're all fighters. But this was my grandmother, right? And the way she saw things. She told me this incredible story about her uncles that sat on a hill. They were just terrified young boys. They sat on a hill and they watched Atlanta burn during the Civil War. Think about that. Think about that time. My grandmother was so poor, and my grandfather on my dad's side, that they picked cotton to survive. And they did that even during the Depression. And they did that they were white, but they did that alongside friends. They had become friends. And at that time, imagine that. Imagine what racism was like then, and all of that craziness, right? Of that horror of people struggling to find their place in this great American puzzle, right? This new experiment, because it's still new. We're still trying to keep it. And my grandmother, and I think I maybe told this story once before in an old podcast. My grandmother and my grandfather became very good friends with a African-American couple or a black couple who had children. And they came with my grandparents to Alabama, where the farm was. And they all worked together. And they would eat together. Well, in this time frame in Alabama, they were surrounded by the worst of the worst, by white supremacists, Ku Klux Klan, what you name it. And my family has told me this story, and, you know, now I'll pass it on to my kids. But my grandfather, William, one night he woke up and there was a commotion going on in the early morning hours. It's probably like 3 or 4 in the morning, because the sun had not risen and it was, you know, hours away from getting out back on the farm to work. And it was the Ku Klux Klan, and they put a cross on my grandfather's farm, and they burnt a cross threatening my grandfather and his family because black people and white people should not be eating together or be friends. This was America, but it wasn't, because my grandfather stood up to them. My grandfather fought for this country. My grandfather stood up to the Ku Klux Klan. My family did. And I'm proud of them. And I'm proud of the sacrifices that my grandmother made. And I'm proud of the sacrifices that my mom's family made coming here being a new immigrant. They are all fighters. They are all part of that fabric that make our nation so miraculous and so wonderful. Tiffany is that type of person. One day, her children's children will tell stories about her and about Scotty and about those great sacrifices. And one day, I hope my children's children do the same. Because it's all about what we do now. It's all about how we choose to fight now. And I'm begging you. I am begging you. Believe enough in yourself that no matter if you're at a school board meeting or if you're going to run for office or if you're going to just do something on the local level, do it now to save our country. We really are at that point. It is that crucial. We are living in a moment of history. You don't see it. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. You know, sometimes I don't see it, but we really, really are. I want you to listen. This is Lee Zeldin. I love him. I've had him on the show. He was a former congressman in New York. He ran for governor. You know, he did not lose. He did not lose. He actually won by being involved. He is so humble, and he made such a huge difference in the state of New York. It was historic just by running for office. It wasn't about winning. It was about standing up for something. And that's exactly what Tiffany Smiley did when she ran against Patty Murray, and she's still making a difference. I want you to listen to Zeldin here before we go on.
Well, we need to be competing everywhere, in all 50 states. I don't care what state you come from. There are important races, especially down ballot. And we saw, instead of New York sending 6 Republicans as part of our delegation to D.C., we ended up sending 11. We end up flipping control of the House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi is no longer Speaker. We need to go into Democratic areas, and the best way to get Democrat votes is not to act like Democrats, but to explain why we are proud, principled conservatives. And don't pander. If you go speak to a black group or a Hispanic group or an Asian vote or Jewish group, don't say, I love black people, vote for me. I love Asian people, vote for me. I love Hispanic people, vote for me. Say, we need to improve safety on these streets. Here is how. These are our proposals. We need to improve the quality of education inside of your kids' schools. Here's how. These Democrats are unhappy with the Democratic policies and the Democratic Party as a whole, but they aren't going to just swing to the Republicans on their own. It's a bad assumption that we are making. Instead, what we need to do is to show up over and over and over again. When your high-paid political consultant tells you not to go to a heavily Democratic area, that's exactly where we need to show up and earn the support of these Democrats. We cannot relinquish the cities. We cannot relinquish the suburbs. We need to drive the message in these campaigns as we talk about what needs to get done to make our streets safer, to make life in these states more affordable, to protect freedom, safety, prosperity, our kids' education, and more. We cannot relinquish anything to the Democrats, and if we're on offense confidently, that will be the path for us to earn a red wave, because in 2022, we did not earn a red wave nationally. In 24, we must to save America.
That's great.
He's absolutely right. And I was at CPAC too, in Washington, D.C. Look, he is 100% right. I spend a lot of time. I am on a Hispanic committee that works right now, is working towards 2024. We are reaching into the grassroots level of all the communities. The Republican Party has to change. We have to get out there. We can't pander. We can't say, oh, we like you because you're black, and then not show up, you know, next year. Oh, listen to this. We're going to help you because you're Hispanic. People can see through the BS, and they're already seeing through the BS on the Democrat side. What we need to do as Americans is fight for American values. My mother came here from Cuba because she believed in those values. Not because she was a Cuban trying to find her place in America. No, she was an American. She was an American. Those values are innate in all of us. That's why we fight for freedom. That's why we believe as human beings that we have the right to liberty, that nobody has the right to take that from us. That's why our nation is so cool. That's why that should be the center point of teaching our children why it is so great to be an American. It is not a dirty word. It is not a dirty word to say you're a patriot, you're an American. I love that American flag. Guess what? I love that American flag because it represents all of the lives, all of the people that make the fabric of this nation so beautiful and diverse, all of those that sacrificed everything for our country. And Lee Zeldin is right. He's right. We need to be on the offense, not because we need to win. We need to be winners. That's not it. We need to save our nation. That is what we need. And yes, saving our nation is based on the principles that we believe in. So yes, we need to win that, but not out of a selfish reason. We have to win this out of a sacrificial reason. We have to give up some of our time, some of our effort, maybe take a little hiatus, 1 hour a week to just give back, to give back and to speak out. And I'm going to be right back with Tiffany Smiley to talk about how you can do that and how she is doing that in the great state of Washington. First, folks, though, you know, gold and silver, they allow you to protect what you have worked so hard for. And you're seeing what's happening now across the globe, right? I think you are. How dangerous things are. The bank situations, we've got banks closing down. We're worried about our money. We're worried, is there going to be a run on the banks one day? What is going on here? How is our world changing? But guess what? Gold and silver, you can have that. That's tangible. You're not going to have to worry about some bank woke leader or president telling you you can no longer bank at his bank because you don't believe the way he does. But you can diversify and you can put money where it needs to be. And that is in gold and silver. I'm telling you, you are not going to regret it. $5,000 of free silver right now on a qualifying purchase. When you tell them that Sarah sent you, get $5,000 of free silver on a qualifying purchase when you tell them Sarah sent you. So don't wait. Call or click today, 877-702-7272. That's 877-702-SARAH, S-A-R-A, no H, S-A-R-A. Or go to protectwithsarah.com. That's 877-702-7272. That's 877-702-SARAH, S-A-R-A. We can't control the Biden administration, but we can prepare. 877-702-7272. That's 877-702-SARAH or protectwithsarah.com. I already told you a little bit about Tiffany Smiley, and I want to tell you why this is so important to me, because when she ran for Senate against Patty Murray, it was like, for the first time, we can see that outsiders have, and we saw that with President Trump, we've seen that with others, but have a real chance at effective change. And she did that. She did that in Washington State. She held Patty Murray's feet to the fire. She brought issues to the forefront that I think all Washingtonians were concerned about, specifically crime, children's education, which is so important to me and so important to many other parents. And I don't think that anyone did it better during the election season than Tiffany Smiley. I mean, she really had Patty Murray scared, really scared, in an area and in a state where Democrats dominate. I mean, they dominate. And the fact that Tiffany came so close was, I think, a wake-up call to Democrats. And I also think it challenges Republicans, because Republicans need to do a much better job. And I think the one thing that Tiffany did that was better than almost any other candidate is the grassroots effort of really getting into the community, letting people know who she is, letting people know the I think the topics that are most concerning, which of course I talk about, is crime and education. That is still probably predominantly the most important thing that people care about right now. And that's why you're on the show, Tiffany. That's why I'm so grateful that you are back, that you are still fighting the fight, that this isn't just about the 2022, run for Senate. You and I, and I talked about this at the top of the show, we've both been through very similar circumstances. Both of our husbands were blinded, overseas in battle. We both have children, and we are both still married to these wonderful men, and they have been through so much, and so have we. And we're bringing that experience, I think, to the people that we're talking with, to this audience. And of course, I think you, as a continuing warrior for veterans and for military families. So I'm just grateful that you're back on the show, and I'm grateful. I'm excited to talk about all your new projects.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. I'm happy to be back too. My race was, I was really inspired through the political process. The amazing people that you get to meet and, share my ideas with and share, we had a whole agenda for recovery and reform. And you're absolutely right. We shook up Washington State, and Washington State needed to be shaken up. I am a political outsider. I didn't have any money when we started our race, but I knew how to do the work. I knew why I was doing it. I was fighting for my children, for your children, for the American dream, for generations to come. Patty Murray's been there for over 30 years. And what does she have to show for it? And if the Dems really believe in democracy, then they have to understand and honor that you should be held accountable. That's democracy in action. So I am proud of my campaign. I am proud of my whole team. There wasn't one word that came out of my mouth that I regret through the whole campaign. I don't know if there's very many politicians that can say that, but we knew why we were fighting. And, it was heartbreaking to me because what we found in the end, ultimately I fell short, which was heartbreaking because I knew we could help so many people. But what we found is we won the persuasion voters. We won the messaging war with those independents, those swing voters. However, they didn't vote. They didn't turn out to vote. And that's why the polling seemed a little skewed, too, because maybe on the phone they were like, yes, they identified, we won them over. But then they didn't vote. And I'm hearing—
Why?
I'm hearing more and more people across the country. They're like, why? They've been preached hope and change for decades, and they don't believe that anything will change in their life. They don't believe in government. So, like you were saying, like you opened the show, Sarah, we have to stick together. We have to fight. We have to ensure that these people know that they have a reason to vote, that we give them a reason to vote. And quite frankly, Democrats and Republicans haven't done that in a very, very long time. And that's the battle that's ahead of us.
I agree with you. I think that there is a huge battle, and it's for the hearts and minds. We always talked about hearts and minds in Afghanistan, winning over the hearts and minds of the Afghan people, winning over the hearts and minds of the Iraqis. What about winning over the hearts and minds of the American people,
right
here at home, who don't, you're right, they don't get up and they don't go to the polls and they don't vote, some of them, because they feel like it's hopeless. I heard that a lot, even in Georgia. Remember during the election, and I was so angry at some Republicans for saying, don't vote, there's need election integrity, we don't have it, so it doesn't matter. No, it does matter.
Yes.
Every single vote matters. And you and I know that more than anyone. Your husband almost lost his life.
Yep.
He is now, living every single day. Yes, he is a victor. Yes, he is a winner because he's overcoming. And my husband too, but we can't say that we don't have bad days,
That's right.
But they're blinded because of their fight to protect American values. So when you don't go to the poll, when you don't vote, what are you saying to them? What are you saying to all the people, all the men and women that have lost their lives in battle to ensure that we would live in this republic?
Right. Well, it's a republic, right? If we can keep it. if we can keep it. And it has to be by the people. It has to be us people rising up and having an active role and engagement in our government and truly believing that our government can work for us. I know it can. You know, I always say, in what other country, you know, my husband was blinded and fighting for his life. I took on the army. I took on the Department of Defense. I offered another solution and fought hard for it and was able to come through that victorious and continue the fight within the VA. But in what other country can a citizen, a farm girl from Pasco, Washington, take on the government and bring real change for people? This is the greatest country on earth. And we have to remind people of that. And that's certainly why I am staying in the fight. I'm not going away. Like I mentioned, I was inspired by this whole process and the change that we collectively can make together. And that's certainly why I launched Endeavor PAC, to continue to help candidates, political outsiders, those that are accomplished in the private sector, and taking their, you know, getting them and their voices in the halls of Congress. I think that is so important in this next cycle and going forward. And I will do everything I can to help them and to utilize the resources that we built.
Let's talk about Endeavor PAC, because this is a great concept. It really is. Go into detail so that everyone who's listening, all of you who are listening to us right now, this is, I mean, I think this is kind of revolutionary and something that everybody could be involved in.
Yes.
Explain how your PAC is going to affect change in Washington, D.C.
Yes. So, well, we have to get the right people elected and the right people in the halls of Congress. And so what I will be doing is, across the country, no, I'm not going to be afraid to help candidates in purple states or blue states have the resources that they need, help them with their grassroots fundraising, help them with their events. Not only that, I'm going to be looking for candidates that actually have, you know, unique skill sets. And in addition to that, that they have an agenda, like they have a plan, they have, you know, ideas and a voice from their own personal experiences to take into Congress, compelling candidates with compelling stories. And so I am excited. We've already launched it. We're already fundraising to be able to help these candidates. We'll start to identify more and more, you know, as we get closer into the campaign cycle. But, you know, political outsider, over the last 18 months, it was incredible what my team built. We built one of the largest donor files in the country from nothing, from absolutely nothing. You know, even Puerto Rico, I received donations from every single state, including Puerto Rico.
That's crazy good. I didn't even have known that. Like, but I'm so proud of all the Boricuas out there.
Yes, thank you.
that are actively involved in you know, in politicking, because it is important. It affects all of us, even our territories, right?
That's right. That's right. And people understood that. So that showed us that our message really resonated with the American people. They saw hope. They saw an opportunity for change and to actually have someone in Congress that will fight for the people. And so that's what we will be focused on. I'm very, very excited about what we can do. But you're right. Everyone can be involved in this. I want to have an impact in the future.
Yeah. So I agree. And there are so many things happening right now, everything from SVB Bank.
Yes.
That hopefully, you know, by the time we talk about this, I pray that we don't see any more collapses, you know, within our, even our small savings and loans or our small banking system, but all the way through let's go back to the past, COVID and the restrictions and the 2 years of lockdowns. And I think Americans just feel like we're supposed to be the nation of liberty, freedom, you know, independent thinkers. And now we're kind of like we're really at the mercy of our adversaries now. I don't think I'd ever believe that I would be at the mercy right now of, like, even China and Russia. And we're on the verge of possibly World War III. I mean, this is all in the last several years where we've seen these enormous changes.
Yes.
So are you looking for candidates that aren't afraid of taking that fight and talking and speaking truth to power? I mean, because it's very difficult now.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Sarah. You know, what we're looking for is leaders. who aren't afraid to stand up and fight for the future and take their collective shared experiences. Because look, like, Congress is old. And if they've been there a long time, they live in a bubble. They don't understand the laws that they're creating, how it is affecting the real people in our communities across Washington State, across the United States. So we need leaders who can stand up and fight that battle for us. I will do everything I can to ensure that we have an impact in this next cycle and continued impact in the future. Like you said, my husband, our family sacrificed greatly for this country. We will do anything that we can. And it's, you know, elections do matter, and we're walking in that right now in these very scary times. Internally here in our country, national security wise, we lack leadership on every single front. We have shown a weakness inside our country and outside our country. But here's where I believe, you know, I have such great hope, because I feel like whenever our country, you know, is pushed into a corner or it looks like all might be lost, it's really when we rise up. That's why I'm not quitting. That's why I'm staying in this fight, because I believe it's important for all of us to get involved and continue to fight for this country.
Right.
I just always remember, you know, Scotty in the hospital bed, and it was so scary. I was 23. I'd quit my job. You know, we didn't know if he was going to live or die. He was forever blind. People were coming in and out and saying, he's never going to do this. He's never going to do that. Just everything felt so hopeless. But I had this little glimmer. I had this small, you know, like, hope that it could be better, that our life didn't have to be what was in front of us right now. And, you know, taking that fight to the halls of Congress and taking that fight to the White House and holding the press briefing outside the White House and then taking that fight in our political run, I'm like, I have hope. I believe that we can turn this around, that we can give people hope across this country. But leadership matters. Elections matter. Who candidates matter, who we are electing. We have to get the right people in there.
Look at what's happening right now, Tiffany. All you have to do is look at what's happened. Our border is an absolute chaos. We have an executive branch that is continually lying to us. We have a president that doesn't even stay long enough to answer the questions to the press, doesn't want to answer those questions, vital questions right now, especially with what we're seeing on a global scale. And nationally as well. And I think, like, you're absolutely right. You go to Washington, D.C., you talked about a bubble, and I always believe that. I feel like, do they even know what the price of milk is at the grocery store? Have they been to a grocery store lately? Do they understand? I mean, there's very few members of Congress that really get what it's like for a lot of families to live paycheck to paycheck. And have to get their kids to school in the morning and don't have time to be worried about, you know, they don't even have time to know that China is moving fentanyl into the country. Like, they're just like, oh gosh, I hope my lawmaker does the right thing. And then sometimes it's too late. Yep. Sometimes parents I've talked to said, I never had any idea that there were counterfeit pills on our streets, that my child could take one and then die.
Yep.
I never knew this. And it's almost as if we're blindsided by all of these problems while Washington continues its, you know, its game.
Yeah. And not addressing the issues. I mean, even the border issue, that was a big issue on my campaign trail because of the amount of fentanyl that is in Washington State and killing our kids. Right. You know, it's not just killing the individuals in the homeless encampments or living on the streets. I mean, I heard, it gives me goosebumps, so many stories of moms that lost their high school kids, that lost their college kids. I'll never forget the story of a young boy who was a 4.0 student basketball player over in Seattle, Puyallup area, and took one pill one time, dead. And the lack of transparency, the lack of leadership, I mean, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. When it comes to the safety, the livelihood of our children here in the United States of America, secure our border, stop the cartel. Like, Joe Biden, President Biden, stand up and be a leader for our children in this country. I mean, this is unacceptable. Full stop.
Absolutely. 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 It's completely unacceptable. It's completely a national, it's a national security yes. failure of epic proportions. And I think what's so disturbing to me is the fact that, like, you and I both know this. I mean, they're allowing it to happen. Yes. And I can't figure out the reason yes. behind it. I don't know if they're looking for more voters, yep. but it's not helping even the people that are crossing.
That's right.
They have a humanitarian crisis. Our children are dying. So I'm trying to put myself in their shoes and figure out, like, okay, then why would you allow this to happen? Why would you allow China and the cartels? Yep. You know, I think they're being used as proxies in a war against us by the Chinese.
Yes.
Just jumping and they're murdering our children and murdering our citizens. And everybody's kind of like, well, we're going to sidestep that issue for now. We're yep. not going to deal with that.
Yep.
Because it's not an addict issue anymore.
No.
It's an actual poisoning yep. issue.
Yes. And you're exactly right. That I'm asking those questions too, Sarah, is what is preventing you from taking a leadership role on this? The administration, you look at the Senate. What is stopping Senator Murray from taking a lead on this issue? Because it is affecting people here in Washington State, all over this country, and it breaks my heart. So that's why I'm certainly will continue to fight.
Well, let me ask you this. Will we see you on the ballot again in Washington?
You know, nothing's off the table. And I don't know. For right now, I know that I can make a difference and use what we built over the last 18 months to help candidates across right. the country. And that's what I will be focused on. But I always say either me or Scotty. I don't know.
Oh, that's good. Because, yeah, Scotty can now get a taste of what it's like to run yes. your office. I'm sure he's so excited about that. You know? I know he would do it. I know he would fight the fight, yes. you know, for everyone. And I think he's just blessed to have you in his mm-hmm. life, that you have each other.
Yes.
But you know, the other Senate seat will be on the ballot in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am here to be supportive and helpful here in Washington State as well. We have some congressional races that we need to win back and continue to fight to build strong leadership here in Washington State. But right now I am focused on Endeavor PAC and really working hard to make an impact across the country.
Where can everybody go to learn more about Endeavor PAC and maybe donate
yes.
or donate time or?
Yes.
Your hat in the ring. I don't know.
Yeah, sign up. Get in touch with us. Yes. Yes, it's www.endeavorpac.com. And you can get all the info there. You can sign up for our newsletter. You can donate, be a part of this movement to help candidates across the country get into Congress and use their voices, their shared ideas, and elect leaders to really turn the tide in this country.
Well, I got to tell you this. I would love to have some of the candidates that yeah. you're backing come on the Sarah Carter Show, come here, talk to the audience.
Awesome.
I'm excited. I love young or old, I don't care,
yeah.
but candidates that are willing to make a yep. difference, that are willing to challenge Washington, D.C. and the swamp, because that's what we need.
We
just need people that are willing to take that step and just say it like it is, not be afraid,
yep.
lay it on the line, just like you did, and continue to fight the fight. So now that we talked about all of these great values that are a part of the fabric of our nation, let's talk about what we can do to help support those values and those ideals that we believe in. And part of that is giving of yourself, right? It's charitable giving. And Donors Trust is the best by far organization that can help you give to organizations that actually stand for your values. This is so important. We're sponsored today by Donors Trust, the principled, tax-friendly way to just simplify your charitable giving. Whether it's saving unborn babies, guys, empowering entrepreneurs to offer alternatives to failing public schools, or fighting green energy extremists that want to consolidate power, Donors Trust is the charitable giving account provider for you. Let my friends at Donors Trust help minimize your tax liability while maximizing your giving. Visit www.donorstrust.org/Sarah. That's www.donorstrust.org/Sarah, S-A-R-A. Again, that's www.donorstrust.org/Sarah, S-A-R-A. Okay, so we've given you some tools, and I have some homework on my plate too about what it's going to take to save our country and to save our nation's precious values. This isn't just, like I've talked about this before, it's not just America as a symbol, but it's America as an idea, right? That's what we are. We're an idea. We are amazing. We are great people. We are people from all over the world looking for the same thing, freedom. Freedom. And this land, this blessed land, I believe blessed by God, is so precious. And it is the one thing that is worth the fight, the one thing that is worth all the sacrifices, because we're standing up for humanity. We're standing up for those values that make us unique, that make us different than the animals, right? That make us beautiful and wonderful, that keep us going. And I'm going to wrap it up with this because it just came into my head right now. So what we're doing, our sacrifices, right, are smaller than what you would think of like the ultimate sacrifice, giving your life or fighting overseas or losing your eyes like my husband and Scotty Smiley did. But we can make sacrifices that are as important too, right here at home. And that's what I was talking about through this whole show, right? That is you and I getting out there, doing things together, you know, in larger numbers. We can't be silent. Getting out there and helping your neighbor, getting involved in your community, knowing what's happening at your school board, right? Knowing what's going on inside your child's school and standing up to those people that do not represent the values of our nation and what it took and what it takes to keep this nation viable every single day, every minute, every hour. It is up to us. We're the warriors of America, right? We all are. We all are. And, you know, Tiffany said it. She quoted Benjamin Franklin, and she's right. It's our republic if you can keep it, right? It's just that important, folks. Thank you so much for being a part of this show. Thank you so much for being a part of my life. I hope you got something from this today, and I look forward to watching you make those changes. I look forward to reporting you making those changes and to meeting you and to bringing you on the Sarah Carter Show in the future. Please write me, send me your thoughts on the show. Let me know what you want to talk about. You mean so much to me. Follow me on Truth at Sarah Carter Official, on Twitter at Sarah Carter DC, and on Instagram at S Carter DC. We are the American family. God bless you. God bless our great nation. God bless Tiffany Smiley and all of those fighters out there that are doing everything, and Lee Zeldin, who are making our nation a better place. And God bless the great state of Texas.